I'm Natalie Liu, and you're listening to the Baggage Reclaim Sessions. Hello, hello. How are you doing? A very quick heads up, because I know that some of you are very religious about listening to the podcast, and so if I don't say it, then I'm going to get a load of messages and emails next week. I am going to take a couple of weeks break from the podcast. I am a little bit pooped, and rather than waiting until I'm really, really tired, I'm going to have my break now. And so it was a couple of weeks break just to really rest and reboot to catch up with myself. It's been a pretty hectic couple of months in a good way, like some really, really exciting things have happened. More on that another time. But now is a time for me to slow down a bit before we get into the next stretch of episodes before the summer break. So I will be back on June the 4th, 2021. Okay, on with today's topic. Behind our habits of, for instance, settling for less, not having boundaries when we need to, not questioning something when we need to, not flagging a concern, not clarifying things, not expressing our feelings, not being honest about who we are and what we need and want, is an underlying fear that whatever it is makes us needy and we don't want to be seen in that way. And it is that same fear, concern, and belief that maybe we are needy or that it could look needy, that we, for instance, get involved with emotionally unavailable people in unavailable relationships, or we are at best taken advantage of or at worst abused in a shady relationship. We settle for less, for instance, at work, and we don't maybe expect much of family and friends. We're always worrying about being an inconvenience, a burden. Hence, maybe why we don't ask for help or admit that we're struggling. We engage in habits like people-pleasing, perfectionism, overthinking, overgiving, and over-responsibility as a backdoor route to trying to meet our needs while at the same time trying to act as if we don't actually have the needs that we do. We have this fear of being needy, but also, in some instances, aside from us maybe having called ourselves needy, somebody else may have said that to us. It might be a family member, it could be a friend, it could be a romantic partner, and it has stuck with us. And I would say one of my most frequently asked questions is, well, but was that needy of me to do that or to say that or to want that or to need that? And so what I want to spend a little bit of time on today is explaining, there are some instances where, we are being needy. And, I'm wary of using the term needy. And that's probably come about through the work that I do. Like, it's just not really a term that I use, except for with our dog, Chester. And as I talked about in episode 224, and also in the second episode of the podcast, there are specific reasons why I have said that about him. But it's also been a way of us recognizing his anxieties and helping to meet his needs, but also without overdoing it and losing sight of what's going on. But I do think that needy is an overused term. We overuse it about ourselves, we overuse it about others, and sometimes we have been around people who have overused it on us. However, let's be real. There are instances when we have been thinking and behaving and expecting of others in a way that is, for all intents and purposes, needy. And in this episode, what I really want to get down to is, what does needy mean in reality? And what are some of the contributing factors to that? Like, what are the things that are basically going to cause us to either perceive ourselves or to be perceived as others as needy? But also, we need to really be honest about what needy isn't. So when I was thinking about like, what is needy? And when I looked at some of the stuff that I had written before about neediness, and I'll link to this in the show notes, which will be at baggagereclaim.co.uk/226. The big three factors that can really create this sense of neediness are unrealistic expectations, seeking validation, and the underlying anxiety that drives that, but also that can result from it and be reinforced by some of the things that we're doing. And so I think of needy as a sign that our current and old unmet needs are driving expectations and anxiety while ignoring our reality and responsibility. So every single one of us has needs. I have been banging on about this on the podcast, on the blog for the longest time. So having needs doesn't make us needy. We have had needs since we were conceived, and we will have them until our last breath. So criticizing us for having needs is like going, I'm angry with me for breathing, or it's wrong that I have the need to breathe. Needs are basically what oxygenates our life. And we have a sense of how well our needs are met based on how we're feeling. And how we're feeling is coming about from the thoughts that we're feeding us, the way that we're treating us, as well as the actions and choices that we're making in our life, including the relationships that we engage in. Now, as I said, all humans have needs, and we all actually have the same needs, but we have them to varying degrees. And when we're in situations where there's really a mismatch between our needs and the other person's needs, or our needs and the situation that we're engaging in, this is where there is the potential for us to think of ourselves as needy, or for somebody else to think that we are needy. And so we tend to think that we're needy because we feel as if we are needing or wanting more than the situation or the person is prepared to give. Or we think that the way that we are responding to the situation, so any discomfort that we're experiencing, that is a sign of us being wrong. We think that how we feel is an inconvenience, rather than recognizing that our feelings are like an inner GPS system giving us clues about what's going on in our inner state, as well as what's going on around us. And they're also telling us about the stories that we're telling us, or how well our needs are being met or not. Now, when we have excessive expectations of someone or something, it's not that our expectations are wrong per se, it's that we're expecting more than this situation can be, or than this person can be or is willing to be. So the classic example is we are involved with somebody who is emotionally unavailable. And on some level, we got into that relationship because, you know, water seeks its own level. So it matched sort of where we were coming from. But of course, we're settling for less than what we truly need, desire, and deserve. We start to feel uncomfortable with how we're being treated. And it's very possible that we did that thing, you know, like with credit cards where they do the low introductory APR offer. So it might be like 0% for the first year. And then after that, you know, that's when you start to pay the interest. Well, that's how we can be in life, where we act as if we are needless. And, you know, we pretend that way, and then we try to get people in on that low introductory offer. And then we try to use the fact that we have been people pleasing and overgiving and being over responsible as a way to try to generate what it is that we need. And then when we don't get that, we start to feel like taken advantage of. We start to feel as if we're being neglected, because of course we're neglecting ourselves, and also that person may be doing that as well. And we also feel like sort of unwanted, undesired, like it brings up a whole load of uncomfortable feelings. The thing is that when we have unmet needs, so not just current ones, but old unmet needs, that because of the way that we're living our life, these continue to be very sort of hot to the touch. We will then go around being and doing things that really exacerbate those unmet needs. So we will have unrealistic expectations of people. We will put our, for instance, romantic partners or friends into parental roles. So we will engage with them as if we're trying to get from them what we couldn't, for instance, get from our mom or from our dad or from somebody else significant in our past. And those are unrealistic expectations. When we engage with somebody as if we are a child and they are the authority, that creates this needy sort of energy around things. Throw in then that how we're thinking and acting and choosing is going to bring up anxiety, we then have this underlying fear that things are going to go wrong, that we're not going to get what it is that we need and want. And this alters some of our actions and choices and thinking and feelings as well. So again, this creates this sort of sense of neediness, whether it's what we're thinking of us or what somebody else is perceiving. And then on top of this, because we are not actually meeting our needs through our actions and thoughts and choices, and yes, through the boundaries that we're creating, we end up looking for external validation. If we don't believe in ourselves, if we don't believe that we're good enough, we end up taking this into a host of situations, and we're wanting somebody else to say, yes, you are good enough. And we're doing this at the same time as putting ourselves in a situation that is actually beneath what we need. We're settling for crumbs. We're settling for less than what we need. So it ends up reinforcing this idea that we are not worthy, that we are not good enough, that we are not deserving, that people don't want to meet our needs, without us acknowledging that we are thinking and behaving and choosing in ways that it's like creating a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because if we don't believe that we're good enough, we're not going to put ourselves in a situation that doesn't reflect that belief. We act from a place of belief. So we align with that, even though we might be entirely unaware of that. So this is why I say that our current and old unmet needs are driving our expectations and anxiety, while we're also ignoring reality. So the situation, what's actually going on, what we need to do for us, and our responsibilities. Because if we have needs, but we see it as it's somebody else's responsibility to do it, then we are ignoring our responsibilities. If we are basically running around trying to meet everybody else's needs while neglecting our own, yep, that'd be people pleasing. We are over responsible in terms of others, but we are under responsible for us. So we feel like, oh my God, like, look at all this stuff that I'm doing. Boundaries let us know that we understand our responsibilities and that we also understand others. So we know the difference between where we end and where they begin. But if we have expectations of someone that's really based on, for instance, old unmet needs from childhood, we are not being boundaried in that situation. And this is why I said that there are things that we do, habits that we have, that if we're unaware of them or we're not in the process of addressing them, it will reinforce this idea to us that we are, air quotes, needy. And it's possible that in some instances, depending on who we're around, we might be accused of being needy by someone. And those habits are, one, codependency. So that is where we're excessively emotionally reliant on others. We don't know where we end and others begin. We try to feel their feelings, think their thoughts, anticipate their needs, all so that we can try to get them to meet our needs. We treat them as if they are an authority over us, and we don't have the boundaries that we need. And we rely on them basically as our self-esteem, to tell us who we are, to tell us what to do. And we lose our agency. So we lose our ability to sort of navigate our life, to feel as if we have a say in our circumstances. And in treating, for instance, somebody as if they are the center of the universe and the definition of our worth, we are clearly going to end up becoming dependent on them. And that's how, yeah, you can end up having that sense of, oh my God, I'm needy, or somebody else accusing us of being needy. Of course, nobody's in a codependent relationship on their own. So it's all very well somebody turning around and going, oh my gosh, you're so needy. But the fact of the matter is that they have aligned also into that situation because of their own codependency that they may not be aware of. The second thing it goes back to again is the seeking validation. And so if we always rely on others to tell us who we are, to tell us what we're about, we end up looking for constant reassurance against our own self-doubts. And we will do things and we will get that temporary reassurance about the anxiety that we're not enough, that they're going to leave, that somebody else is better than us. And so we will be and do things to try to get that validation, but it's just temporary reassurance against our doubts. And if we keep doing that without really understanding what it is that we're seeking validation about, what it is that's coming up for us, the baggage behind it, yes, we have that potential to be accused of being needy in that instance. Three, playing roles. Now, this is something, again, that I've talked about a lot on the podcast, and I'll make sure that I link to the episodes about that. I know that episode 128, for instance, is one of these. And when we play a role, it is that we take on these personas, we put on these masks and these costumes. So a classic one is the good girl, the good guy. But there's loads of roles. You know, there's the rebel, the strong one, the fixer, the helper, the healer, the savior, the comedian, the troublemaker, the diplomat, the silent one, the one who has no needs, the scapegoat, the black sheep, whatever it might be. We play roles. And if we are unaware that we are playing roles, then we will find ourselves in repeats of situations. We will have unpleasant patterns in our life. So once we become aware that we tend to slot into these roles, so we're playing at being something rather than actually being who we are, and we're hiding behind these jobs that we think we're supposed to have in our relationship, what we don't realize is that by playing a role, we're actually putting other people into a role. So for instance, if we always have to be the giver in whatever role that we tend to play in our relationships, we're automatically making others the taker. And of course, if we give and give and give and we listen and listen and listen and we sacrifice and sacrifice, at some point, we want our payday. We want our reward. And so at that point, that is when the person who has been on the receiving end of that, particularly once we start to get quite agitated about it, has the potential to turn around and accuse us of being needy. And of course, where that's coming from is resentment. So we're experiencing this resentment about our unmet needs, and we feel as if we've been sacrificing ourselves and giving, 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 without recognizing that we were over our boundaries and not really taking responsibility for us and being aware of the reality of the situation. The fourth one then, and this really, you know, spins off all the previous ones that I've talked about, is that we give to get. So I call it like being in get mode. And if we have a pattern in our life, you know, the sort of sameness where we keep finding ourselves in variations of the same situation with different people, it is because on some level we keep trying to get and, yes, possibly avoid the same things. And once we are willing to acknowledge this and figure out what is it that I keep trying to get out of these situations, that's where we can really start to break this pattern. So when we keep being in get mode, what can happen is that we're so afraid that after doing all the things to try to get whatever it is that we're looking for, we're so afraid that we're not going to get it that we can start to act out. And we might, you know, be passive aggressive. And the other person might feel as if they're being backed into a corner or being manipulated. And so, again, this is how we can end up being called needy, or where we can end up thinking that we are needy as well. So number five, and this really spins off from the previous ones that I've mentioned, is that we engage with people as if they are parental replacements, or as if, for instance, they are our sibling or another authority in our life, or an old bully. And as a result, we seek validation, it creates unrealistic expectations, and it also sets off a whole load of anxiety. And we can be so unaware that we are doing this. So for example, a really common area where this happens is at work. Like, so many people don't realize that the reason why they are so triggered by a particular person at work, why they are not standing up for themselves, why, for instance, they might be letting this person take liberties, or why they feel like fiercely competitive or angry or whatever it is because they engage with this person as if they are this person's child. So this person actually really represents a parent or a sibling or like an old teacher. And this significantly alters our behavior at work. And of course, we do it in romantic relationships as well, where without recognizing our patterns, we turn our partners into parental replacements because the needs that we have of the romantic relationship actually represent old unmet needs from our childhood, as well as unmet needs that we have as a result of us not meeting them, seeing it as I need to go and find somebody to fill a void and take care of me. This leads neatly into number 6, which is where we try to get people to meet needs that we actually don't meet for ourselves. So we have this void, we have these unmet needs from, for instance, our childhood, but also current unmet needs because of the way that we live our life. So for instance, we are people pleasing and we're a perfectionist and we're overgiving. And as a result, we're going to be neglected because we're deprioritizing our needs. We're treating our needs as an inconvenience while treating everything and everyone else as a priority. And then what happens is that, of course, we're still this human being that has needs. We're pretending that we don't have needs, but we do. So we go round the houses about trying to have our needs met, and we are expecting people to do for us what we're not prepared to do for ourselves. And of course, again, we can end up feeling as if we're needy, or we can be accused of being needy as well. Number seven is acting out, setting traps, and sabotaging ourselves really to call attention to a need. So sometimes what we do is that rather than actually have a conversation or have the boundary or make the choices that would allow us to meet our needs in healthier ways, we act out instead. And a classic example of this is, and again, over the, almost 16 years of running Baggage Reclaim, I've spoken to so many people who have exploded in a relationship. They have been sweet and nice and accommodating and basically allowing their boundaries to be overstepped. And on some level, they let these things slide because they felt that when they were ready to say something, that it was almost like they had the credits to, one, lose it with them and act out, and two, for the other person not to basically retaliate, not to say anything, because it's like, well, look at all of this stuff that I've done for you. And so what can happen is that we tolerate a whole load of stuff, we act like we're needless, and then we start acting out to basically communicate our needs. And again, this is where we can end up being accused of being needy, whereas actually the needs that we have are valid, it's just that now they're exploding. Sometimes it's that we set traps, and so we might create a situation where, you know, we're trying to catch the person out, but it's actually a way of us trying to meet some need that we think that we have. And it's like, okay, well, if I can prove this, and again, we can end up looking like we're needy. And yeah, sometimes we are sabotaging ourselves. So, you know, there's an episode I've done, and again, I'll link to it in the show notes, where I talk about how people-pleasing, perfectionism, overgiving, overthinking, and over-responsibility are forms of self-sabotage. And what is interesting is when we look at some of the patterns in our life, we don't realize that sometimes what we're actually trying to do by being in the repeats of an unpleasant situation is call attention to a need. So for instance, if we're always in crisis and our parent has to worry about us, and they get to be very sort of present in our life, that could be a way of us trying to meet an old unmet need from the past. I've spoken to so many people who part of why they don't allow themselves to be as successful as they could be, why they don't allow themselves to be in more loving relationships, is they don't want to, you know, usurp their parents or siblings. Like, I don't want to outshine them, or I don't want to put them out of a job. Again, this really goes back to understanding the roles that we're playing and also recognizing patterns. But it is this kind of thing, yes, again, that can give this impression of neediness. Going back to what I said at the start of this, needy is current and old unmet needs are driving expectations and anxiety while we're ignoring reality and responsibility. So we're ignoring our unmet needs. We're scratching the proverbial itch with the wrong scratcher. We're trying to meet needs with wants. So we're doing stuff for like instant gratification, you know, avoiding intimacy, moving too fast, and ignoring our needs and neglecting ourselves. In some way, we're doing some or all of those things. So you might have heard some of this and been like, this sounds like me. And then you're like, oh my gosh, like I feel so ashamed. Halt. Being needy on occasion or even as a pattern doesn't make you a bad person. Those habits are your own way of trying to get you to see what it is that you actually need to do for you. What you're experiencing is the side effects of the way that you go about meeting needs. Your patterns, your habits are causing you to keep being in situations where you feel disappointed, frustrated, neglected, rejected, abandoned, you know, undervalued, underappreciated, taken advantage of. And once you recognize this, instead of seeing it as, oh my gosh, like I'm so ashamed, like I'm a bad person, I'm this, I'm that, you then have the opportunity to start addressing the baggage behind your habits. And I've been talking about what's the baggage behind this ever since episode 2 of the podcast, right? You are human, and every single one of us has emotional baggage, and not one of us who's an adult today was actually taught about what needs are, you know, how to healthily go about meeting needs. We weren't taught about boundaries. We weren't taught about values. We weren't even allowed to have feelings. In fact, we've been socialized, conditioned to believe that our feelings are wrong, to distrust our feelings. It's like feelings, what feelings? We own your feelings. We own your boundaries. What values? You do whatever we tell you to do. So it is no wonder that we have woken up in adulthood fumbling around, bumbling around, going through life, you know, working, having romantic relationships, having friendships, struggling with family, whatever it might be, various challenges that we have had have really flagged up our needs. And we discover who we are by discovering who we're not. That's how we gain the discernment to know how to meet our needs. Now, as I said, every single last one of us has needs. And we have the same ones, but to varying degrees. So we all have the same need for attention, affection, approval, love, and validation. But depending on our personality, our character, our resources, our circumstances, our level of abundance, and our backstory, those needs will show up differently in our life. Some will feel urgent, some will feel less so. So it varies from person to person. And we have a lot of shame around our needs because on some level we recognize that we have been in relationships of all types and that we have, for instance, had jobs or sought out opportunities or purchased something and our needs were not being met. So we feel like, oh my gosh, like what's wrong with me? We feel as if we have to earn our needs being met and not just by others, even by us. So I'm going to give an example. So I just yesterday taught a class called Yes is Not the Key to Thriving at Work, where I shared 7 super common habits that we engage in at work that hurt our career and well-being. And one of the habits I called holding and skipping. And what I mean by this is holding wheeze, skipping lunch, skipping dinner, skipping sleep, not hydrating, and basically acting as if our basic needs are inconvenient while emails and idiosyncratic requests from coworkers or from clients or whoever it is, that they are more important. And this type of behavior, yeah, sure, we can all have our instances where we like get so immersed in something, you know, you kind of get into flow that time flies and next thing you know, it's like, oh my God, like I've been sat in my chair for hours and oh my gosh, I'm busting, I need to eat, you know, I'm stiff. But when this is like just like the daily habit, this really is a metaphor for how we live our life, that we tend to neglect us, that we tend to deprioritize us. So in that instance, we're carrying on as if we're needy for being tired or for being hungry or for being thirsty or for actually just being tapped out and having no more energy for our work. We feel as if we're being needy if we don't want to always do whatever we're told to do at work. And we are not, okay? Yes. We've all had instances and possibly had patterns where, yeah, okay, you know, it can cause us to bring out some needy stuff. But the fact of the matter is that if we actually allowed us to be a human being and we didn't treat us like a machine, and we recognize that actually we need to meet not just our basic needs, but our needs in life, then we wouldn't be in this position in the first place, or certainly it would be less so. And we would then see situations where somebody called us needy as an opportunity to get grounded, to get curious and be like, okay, what's that all about? What's going on here? Is that really true? Because the fact is, sometimes we are going to be called needy by someone and it is not going to be true. And that someone might be another person, and that someone might be us. Needs are needs. And as I've said before, criticizing having needs, shaming us for having them, is like shaming us for breathing. When our body needs food, sleep, hydration, to slow down, our body sends us signals. So this whole needy thing, like when we are hungry, for instance, at work, when we feel tired, when we feel thirsty, when our bladder is busting and, you know, we carry on as if it's a major inconvenience and we try to ignore these body signals, it's like we're saying us being hungry, us having a need is needy. How can hunger be neediness? How can thirst be neediness? How can a need for rest, whatever it might be, how can these be neediness? So realistically, this whole needy thing is this constant criticism of ourselves. And yes, sometimes other people's criticize us. The truth is that whether it's us or someone else saying it about us, needy can mean you have a need and I can't or don't want to meet it. Sometimes it can mean you are uncomfortable with me wanting to treat you in this way. It can also mean you want actual intimacy, honesty, connection, and communication, and I don't really want that. It can mean, why can't you just flipping get with the program and get by with the basics that I'm prepared to settle for or give you? I've managed this far and it doesn't seem to impact on me that badly. So what are you doing going around whining and having feelings for? Sometimes, whether it's us or someone else saying needy, it can be shorthand for other people let me get away with this. Why don't you? It can also mean, why are you trying to make me feel too much and calling me out on my BS and my bad behavior? So at the end of the day, anytime we're thinking that we or someone else is needy or somebody else is saying that about us, it's really a call for us to be really honest with ourselves about what is going on here. Because at the end of the day, we're not wrong for having needs. We never are going to be wrong for having them. What can really change our relationship with our needs is if we allow us to have them and we become aware of where they have been unmet in the past and currently so that we can do better by us. Remember, we can't do this stuff on our own, right? We try, and that actually contributes, exacerbates the sense of being needy or yes, even being accused of it by somebody else. At the end of the day, part of meeting our needs is about the way that we form relationships. It is about the choices that we're making. And when we are more connected to ourselves and connected to our feelings as a result, so feeling our feelings, we have a greater sense of our needs, values, and boundaries. And then we can make choices that don't end up leaving us feeling so triggered and thinking, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? And it's bringing up all of this old stuff from the past. Instead, we are actually allowed to move forward as we really are because we're meeting more of our needs. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time. And take care of you. Thank you for joining me for this episode. If you'd like to say hi or let me know what you thought of an episode, the best place to get a hold of me is on Instagram, @NatLue. That's NatLue. I can also be reached via email at podcast@baggagereclaim.com, or you can also find me on Twitter and Facebook. And links to these are in the show notes at baggagereclaim.co.uk/226. Did you know that aside from the Baggage Reclaim Sessions podcast, that I also write a blog which has more than 1,600 blog posts on subjects like emotional unavailability, boundary breakups, how to distinguish a healthy relationship from an unhealthy one, and how to basically be more you and live in love with your self-esteem in tow. You can also find out about courses that I teach online and upcoming classes, as well as things like my ebooks and audio sessions. All of this is at baggagereclaim.co.uk. You can find all previous episodes of the podcast at baggagereclaim.co.uk/podcasts, which also includes instructions on how to subscribe, as well as how to rate and review the show. I appreciate anything you can do that helps to spread the word about the show. If you know somebody that would benefit from this show or from the blog, please forward it on to them. Or yes, rate and review it in your podcast player, because it really does help to amplify the podcast and get the message out.